This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
The other rights remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door, your running's over, that's for sure.
This episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast may contain descriptions of acts of violence or that of a sexual nature and should be for people that are 18 years or older. Heed my warning, people. I do not get the facts of these cases off of the internet or from some television show. The facts I'm retelling you were presented to me by the victims of the crimes or the perpetrators who committed the crimes against the victims. My descriptions of the crime scenes, what I saw with my own two eyes. If you're going to get offended, please turn this podcast off now. Thank you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And as always, I'm your host, Woody Overton. And this is a patron bonus episode, y'all, which I was supposed to get out like 2 weeks ago, but Thanksgiving happened and then one of my good friends died and the COVID and it was the first eulogy I ever gave at a funeral. But anyway, just crazy times. So here's your episode. I've been thinking about this one for a while and I really don't know what to name it. It's a crazy story. I'm gonna call it Miracle. Okay. So I think it was like 2005, and I was working as a detective for the Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office, and I was on the day shift, and we went 10-8 or on duty around for 8 o'clock in the morning. And at the time, I lived in Watson, and it would take me about 30 minutes to drive in to my office, and I was always early. I like to get there a little early and drink a cup of coffee, shoot the shit with the guys and what have you, and get set up for the day and figure out what it was that I was going to do. Well, on this day, I was in the office and I sat down and was having my cup of coffee. I'd been there, I get there like 7:30, 7:45. And I'm just sitting around shooting shit, looking over some cases, some warrants, people I had to arrest and stuff like that. And Tina Stafford, my secretary, the phone rang and she answered it and she hung up. She said, "You got to go to Denham Springs." I said, "What happened?" She said, "A dude just ran over his wife." I was like, "What?" And she said, "Yeah." And she was pregnant and looks like it's going to be a homicide. So I loaded up and I hauled ass. Probably took me 20 minutes to get there, and it was off of Violet Street, which is north of Denham Springs. And what happened was neighbors called it in that they saw this husband run over his wife with his Jeep. Okay. So I arrive on the scene. Our deputies are already there. The blue and whites are already there. It took them about 20 20-plus minutes to get there. Acadian was leaving. That's Acadian Ambulance, y'all. That's the ambulance service that serves Livingston Parish. And Acadian was leaving. Deputy that was on scene came up and said, "Hey, man, we got this guy under arrest, and he's in the back of my car." So what happened? He said, "Well, we got the call that he ran over his wife." I said, "Okay." Was it an accident? And they said, "She's pregnant, like 6 months pregnant, y'all, big pregnant, showing pregnant." Let me describe the residence. You pull up, there was just like a driveway, just enough for two cars if you parked one in front of the other. I think it was like a chain link fence, and it was a trailer that sat horizontal with the road. It had some wooden steps that went up to it. And the houses around were a couple of trailers and a couple of small houses. And now this Violet Street, really, I mean, it doesn't even have a divider line. It's a single blacktop road, or was at the time. And all the neighbors were out there. It was just kind of a shit show. I mean, everybody was outside, and there was a hollering going on. There were some family members there. But the deputy said he's got the guy under arrest in the back of the car. And I said, "Well, how was she when she left?" He said it was bad. And he said she was definitely marked up and injured. And I said, "What do you mean marked up?" He said, "I mean, she had tire tracks and shit on her." I was like, "What?" He said, "Woody, they ran over not once, not twice, but three times." I'm like, "What?" So he said, "In that Jeep right there." Now, the Jeep is parked in this little small driveway. And I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, how in the hell do you run over somebody three times with a Jeep? And this Jeep was one of those CJ7s. It had big jacked up mud tires on it, like for mud riding. It was a soft canvas top. It was red in color. And so I'm looking at it, and I said, "Well, look, let's call out the crime lab and let's rope off everything, get these people back." So more deputies came on scene. I called it in. I said, "You need to send me somebody else over here." And I don't remember who they sent. "Send me another detective. Call the crime lab. We're going to have to tow this Jeep in." Obviously, I mean, he ran over his pregnant wife three times. I'm thinking, certainly it's going to be a homicide. And so we just start to set up the scene. And they push the people back and coordinate off with the crime scene tape and all that. And I'm going to start to talk to witnesses. And they said, "Well, the neighbors are the one that called it in." And they were standing on the street. I'm not going to say their names. But so I went to talk to them first. I said, "Hey, I'm Detective Overton with the sheriff's office. Can you tell me what happened?" And the guy said, "Yeah." He said, "I heard all this screaming and hollering. And my wife went to the window, and she said that, you know, he's out there hollering with his wife." And said, "I came to the window, and the wife was standing." At the time, there was only the Jeep parked in the driveway. And the wife was standing in front of the Jeep, and he had backed up. The husband, and his name was Gerald. I think it was Gerald Bro, B-R-E-A-U-X. And so the wife, they were arguing, and he got in his Jeep and was preparing to leave. He had backed up, and she came out and was hollering at him through the over the hood in front of the Jeep, and he was backed up almost onto Violet Street and gave him probably two car lengths to move forward. That was standing in between her and the end of the driveway towards the residence. And so anyway, so they were hollering and cursing back and forth, and he just all of a sudden puts it in drive and ran her over. He said, "Detective, I've never seen anything like it." He said he went over, and I was like, "Oh, my God." He said the Jeep hit her. She screams. She went down to the ground, and he just bumped over all four tires, and then she was at the back of it. I was like, "Damn." And he said, "Yeah." He said, "But that's not the worst of it." He said, "When you think it can't get any worse, she's down on the ground, and she's obviously hurt." when you think it can't get any worse, he said, I saw all the reverse lights come on, the white lights come on in reverse, and he punches the gas and runs back over her again. Boom, boom. He said, all four tires. And he's back on the rear end of the Jeep is back on Violet Street. She's laying down in the driveway. She's been run over twice now. He said, and when you think it can't get any worse, he put it in drive again and ran over her again. All four tires. He said the Jeep jumped. Boom, boom. All four tires, and she was on the ground screaming. He said, I could not believe what I just saw. He said, I ran outside, and a couple of the other neighbors came out also. But he said, I ran outside, and I ran to the Jeep, and she's down on the ground, and she's all marked up. He said, shit, I ran into the Jeep, and I reached in the window, and I grabbed him around the head, and I ripped the keys out of the Jeep so he couldn't run over again. He said, and me and a couple of the other neighbors pulled him out, and, well, you know, basically they gently escorted him to the driveway, or made him get some real estate, if you will. And he said, we held him down. And he said, I wasn't going to let him run over again. I mean, it's obvious he was going to. And he said, and somebody called 911. And then, of course, when they got a 911 on the phone, they said, 911, what's your emergency? He said, hey, this guy just ran over his wife three times, and she's pregnant, and she's down on the ground, and we're holding him. We'll hold him until the cops get here. And the blue and whites were never really far, y'all, in that area, the west side of the parish. They always had way more deputies than the east side did. They might have 6 or 7, 10, 8, or on duty at one time. And this is a really populated area, so it didn't take them long to get there. And the deputy told me, he said, when I got there, he said they had him down on the ground. He said, I think they might have got a couple of licks in on him. he said he definitely wasn't getting up. All the neighbors were holding him down, and they were screaming, and the woman's on the ground. And she's pregnant. I mean, like, you see her stomach, but she had tire tracks on her, just the entire body. And she was laying on the ground moaning. And I called for Acadian, and he said they got here really quick. They were somewhere in the area, and, you know, they put her on the board, put her on a stretcher, and took her to the hospital. I'm like, well, and he said she was messed up. He said, yeah, I don't know how she's going to live, and you're going to have she's going to be dead, but what about the baby, right? And I said, I don't know, dude. And I said, you know, they can work miracles nowadays with babies and stuff. I said, I don't know. So work the scene, call for the crime lab, y'all. And the reason we call for the crime lab is the scene's got to be processed. I mean, if we're expecting it to be a homicide. And so if there's skin or whatever underneath the Jeep, you know, the Jeep had to be taken into evidence. We had to establish the chain of custody. And remember, evidence is everything, especially in cases like this. And so as far as I was concerned, that driveway, and the short driveway it was, the driveway and the Jeep are evidence. So we roped it off, waited on the crime lab to get there. And meanwhile, I'm taking statements and from all the different neighbors, the ones that held him down. And I said, did he say anything? And he said, no, he cursed us. And he wasn't happy that, you know, we did what we did to him, but we weren't going to let him run over her again. But they all said he ran over her forward. Now, she's standing in front of the vehicle. He had to back out onto Violet Street. The Jeep is facing towards the residence. He had already started to back up some, and she's coming down the driveway hollering at him, and he put it in drive, and he ran her over, boom, boom. And then that's not good enough. Puts it in reverse, runs her over again, boom, boom. Well, that would be understandable if he was trying to flee from the scene. Negative. He wasn't done yet. He puts it back in drive and runs over her again. He went forward and ran over her again. And that's when the neighbors got to him and made sure he couldn't do it a fourth time. So, and I'm getting statements from everybody, and we're waiting on the crime lab to get there and all that. And she had been transported to the hospital. And once I got done with the base statements and everything, I got him out of the back of the blue and white. And now everybody's kind of pushed back. So it's not like anybody could hear what I was saying or anything like that. So I got him out. He's handcuffed. And he was probably late 30s, early 40s, something like that, and kind of a heavy set guy. And he had an attitude. I mean, I asked the deputy, I said, when you got there, you advised him his rights. He said, I immediately handcuffed him while he was on the ground. I advised him his rights. And he said he didn't say anything, and he was cursing. He said, but he didn't resist me. So I get him out of the car, and I said, hey, Mr. Bro, I'm Detective Overton with the Sheriff's Office, and you've been advised of your Miranda rights. He said, yeah, I've been advised of them. I said, well, I'm going to advise you again. And so I did. I read him his rights. And I said, do you want to tell me what happened today? I mean, you want to consent to questioning, or, you know, I said, it doesn't matter to me. I said, you got all these people out here that saw you run over your wife. And I said, and she's pregnant. And I said, how far? And I think he said 6 months. And, you know, but he was sober. I mean, he wasn't drunk. He wasn't high. His pupils weren't dilated. None of that. You know?
Hey, y'all. One thing I've learned in 16 years of being with my wife is that PMS and menopause are a very real deal. Thank goodness for Hormone Harmony. Hey, do you experience cravings or bloating? Do you feel a little bit down or off? Do you struggle to find comfort in your body? Do you experience bad sleep quality? Well, now it's easier to manage PMS and menopause with Hormone Harmony. Hormone Harmony supports hormonal balance and regulation. It relieves symptoms of menopause, supports cortisol, estrogen, and progesterone levels, promotes healthy weight loss, and curbs carb cravings. It improves sleep quality, reduces occasional bloating and gas, and it relieves hot flashes, and it relieves mood swings. Hormone Harmony is not just a supplement for women going through premenopause, menopause, or postmenopause. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, and Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. Now, here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body adapt to any stressors like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So Hormone Harmony isn't just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of hormonal imbalances can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopause symptoms that put a woman's life on hold, like hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, and the occasional bloating and gas, or no desire to be intimate with someone, you know, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. It has zero sugar, is gluten-free, dairy-free, non-GMO, and third-party tested. And the biggest benefit, my wife says, is feeling like herself again. And that's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. And for a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code RLRC at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code RLRC for 15% off today. Hey, y'all. You want to set your child up for success. Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with the subject? Is your child ahead, not getting challenged enough in class? Well, IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to become curious and empowers them to choose how to learn. Look, we homeschool our son. No doubt about it. He's more of a visual learner, and we use IXL, and Cindy teaches him, and there are so many different benefits to the program. It adapts to exactly what he needs in different areas. So IXL is the perfect supplement to your homeschool curriculum. IXL offers interactive practice problems, educational games, lessons, and video tutorials for every topic you're teaching at home. It's easy to use, time-saving. Everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you're covering. IXL offers instant feedback and explanations of new topics as kids use the program. Kids can explore any topic in any grade level. They aren't forced into a single learning path like they are on other programs. If you're homeschooling your child because they were falling behind or because they were too far ahead like our son, IXL is a great program to help them get the exact support they need. Kids love IXL's positive feedback awards and educational games. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Real Life Real Crime listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price. And don't forget, Real Life Real Crime listeners get 20% off. Y'all, we really do use this product, and it's been a godsend.
And I said, well, I mean, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, I ain't saying shit. I said, well, guess what, motherfucker? You don't have to, because I got God and everybody out here that saw you. Not only did they see you, they pulled your ass out of the vehicle and restrained you so you couldn't run over your wife a fourth time. I said, so I really don't need you. We're going to finish processing the scene, and I'm going to send you to the jail, and I'm going to come up there and book you in after I go see your wife and unborn baby at the hospital, which I would assume if you ran over them three times with that big-ass Jeep that they're probably dead. And so the crime lab came, and we have to process the vehicle, and we had to inventory the vehicle, if you will, before we took it in or let them take it in. And I remember going to the vehicle. Y'all, you have a vehicle inventory log sheet where you go through and you write down anything, certainly anything of value, like firearms or wallet or whatever. But this Jeep was filthy. I remember going into it. I don't know who was on the other side with me. There must have been 100 empty packs of Camel cigarettes, right? And I mean, you're not going to put that down, all the trash that was in there. But he had some clothing. I think he's from down south, like Pierre Part or somewhere like that, down in Cajun land. And he had like work clothing. It was just full of shit. I mean, it was nasty. It was full of trash and clothing. And I think we listed the clothing and whatever else we may have found. Maybe some tools. I think maybe he worked on an oil rig offshore or something, and he was in on his days off. They worked like 7 on, 7 off. But there was nothing of value. And then we went through. I went through. We always go through cigarette packs looking for dope, or crack pipes, or glass sticks, whatever you want to call them. We were looking for any kind of narcotics or anything illegal in the vehicle when we're processing it. So the reason you do that is, so when you send it in and you have that inventory sheet, then if they find something else, which they wouldn't, because we went through it very thorough, but a defense attorney can't come back and say, well, you planted whatever it was in the vehicle. So we did a thorough inventory of the Jeep, period. Thorough. And then it's important. I'll tell you why later. So inventory of the vehicle, and the crime lab comes and we call for 79. A 79 is a tow truck, and the 79 comes and we load it up, and I've got all the witness statements, and it was a bunch of them. And the news was there by that time, and the neighborhood, it was like entertainment. I don't know if nobody had a job or whatever. I don't know, but it was a shit ton of people. And, everybody gave the statements about the verbal argument and about him running over her, putting it in drive and running over her forwards, and then putting it in reverse, running over backwards again. Imagine that now. This big Jeep running over your pregnant wife, not once, not twice, but three times. So by the time the tow truck comes, and we process the scene and get all the statements and everything like that. Well, and I had told the deputy, I said, go ahead and take him to the jail, put him in the booking room. Don't let him talk to anybody. Do not let him have a phone call. Don't do shit till I get there to book him. And y'all, you see in the movies, they say, you get a phone call and all that shit. Well, yeah, they're going to let you call somebody, but not before you get booked. Okay. So I wanted him secluded, if you will, until I had a chance to at least, talk to him again face to face. And I wanted to find out about the wife. First, was she alive? I mean, I needed to know what to charge him with. I knew, right, she was breathing when they left. And so I know I got attempted murder, right? But if she died or the baby died, and I have attempted second degree murder, probably could have been, it would have been first had the baby died. But anyway, so long story short, I load up and I go to the hospital, and I would go to the emergency room, and I walk up, and you have to badge yourself in through security and all that. I said, hey, I'm here for such and such. And they were like, the security guard said, okay, hold on. And he went and checked and came back and said, we don't have anybody here by that name. I'm like, what do you mean? And he said, we don't have anybody here by that name. I said, well, hold on. So I called the radio room. I said, where did Acadian take this victim? Well, now it's been a couple hours, y'all. I said, where did Katie take this victim to? And they said they took it to that hospital. It was, I think it was called Oshner's at the time. It was the first hospital across the river in East Baton Rouge Parish with an emergency room. At the time, Livingston Parish didn't have a hospital. Now I think they have several. But there was nowhere to take a victim of the crime. That was the closest place you took them for trauma, right? Like gunshots or bad wrecks or whatever it may be. And so I said, are you sure? And I said, call Acadian and make sure. And they said, why? I said, because they're saying this lady's not here. And they said, hold on. And then they call Acadian and said, no, they dropped her off there, several hours ago. And so I told security, I said, I need to talk to the head ER doctor. And he escorted me back, and I told the doc who I was and why I was there. And I said, listen, this dude ran over his wife three times with a Jeep and she was pregnant. And he said, detective, you are never going to believe this. I said, what? He said, she was fine. I said, what do you mean she was fine? He said she had tire tracks on her legs and her back, but no broken bones. And she was released. I said, no. I said, I don't understand that. I said, doc, this is a big-ass red CJ7 Jeep with mud tires on it. I said, you're telling me she had tire tracks on her legs and her back, which means, he said, detective, I examined her. He said, I examined the baby. They listened to the heartbeat on the baby. He said, I'm telling you, she was fine. He said, it was a miracle. He said, I could not believe it. And I said, I was in awe. And I said, but look, I'm going to need her contact information. I got to follow up with her, right? And he said, and I said, are you telling me she didn't even get to have to stay in for observation? He said, nope, didn't hit her head. Ran over her midsection, the stomach, in the back, and her legs. And I said, well, he did it three times. He said, I'm telling you, it is a miracle. He said, I've been doing this a long time. He said, just from the tire tracks alone, you would have thought she'd have been crushed and everything. He said, much less the baby, right? He said, but we released her. She wasn't even in that bad of pain by that point in time. He said, we gave her like some Tylenol or ibuprofen or something and released her. I was like, shit, well, I have to go back and interview her, right? And so I was leaving the hospital and I called the radio room. I said, look, call the residents back and see if she's there or try to find out where she's at. I said, I'm going to go to the jail and go ahead and book this guy on attempted second-degree murder and try to get a confession out of him, to see what he says. And then I'll tell the family I'll be coming to talk to them. So I go to the jail, and it was the old jail, y'all, and now it's this big fancy detention center and all that. But they had him in a room waiting on me, and I brought him in, and I got out the standard Livingston Parish Sheriff's Office Miranda rights form, and then on the bottom of that form, it has the consent to questioning part, which says, I voluntarily consent to answer questions. No promises or threats have been made to me or whatever. So I sent him down. I said, Mr. Bro, I'm back from the hospital. Now, look, I didn't tell him she wasn't dead, right? He didn't know. I said, here's the deal. I said, I don't care if you talk to me or not. I said, I just got back from the hospital and you're fucked. And I said, so here's the Miranda rights part. I said, if you understand your Miranda rights, I want you to sign it and date it here. And he did. And he was, I think I scared him when I told him he was fucked. But he never asked. He never asked. He never said, is my wife alive? And then I got to the consent to question part and I read it to him. I said, if you want to answer questions, then sign this part here that you understand. I haven't threatened you and blah, 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 blah. And so he signed it and he sits back in his chair and he's looking at me. I said, listen, there's no doubt in the world that you ran over your wife three times. And he's just looking at me. And I said, I've got every neighbor out there, including but not limited to the ones who held you down and scuffed you up a little bit in the driveway. He said, yeah, that's fucked up. They didn't have to do that to me. And I was thinking, really? In my mind, right? And so now I got to play him a little bit, y'all. I mean, even though she's not injured, and the baby is alive and it is a miracle, I want this piece of shit to go to prison. And so I told him, I said, listen, I've got all the statements, okay? I said, and all your neighbors out there, I don't know what y'all's history is or whatever, if they like you or they don't like you. And he said, they're assholes. And I said, well, then, I can understand that. I said, but all of them didn't make up the story about you running over your wife, your pregnant wife, three times. I said, now, I want you to think about this. And then, he signed the consent to question part, obviously. I said, I want you to just think about this. We go before the jury, and this goes to trial, and your wife's dead, and the baby's dead. And they hear from all these witnesses, whether you like them or not, whether y'all got beefs or whatever, you and your neighbors, but they say how y'all came outside screaming and hollering and you were backing up to leave and she's standing in front of the Jeep and you ran the fuck over her, right? They all saw it. and you ran over. I said, then you put the shit in reverse and you run over again. She's pregnant. 6 months, dude. And then you put the shit in drive again. You run over again. And shit, this is my guess, unless you tell me otherwise, and that you would have ran over again a fourth time. And I said, yeah, I mean, dude, you're going to get people in that jury, a jury of your peers. That's not what you want. I said, a jury of your peers that are married and or have kids of their own, they think this could have been their daughter or their unborn baby or their grandkid or whatever. And I said, you know, most people, when they get in arguments with their spouse at 8 o'clock in the morning, they don't fucking run over them once, twice, much less three times. I said, now, what do you think they're going to do? I said, they're going to be out for blood. I said, your ass is going to prison forever, if not the death penalty. Now, there's nothing that says I can't lie to them, y'all. I wasn't threatening them with the death penalty. I'm just saying, you know, basically kind of a hypothetical, if you will. And I said, Mr. Bro, I said, look, I don't think you're a monster, right? I don't think you're the face of evil. I said, you know, those Jeeps like that, it's a stick, right? And so meaning y'all, it wasn't an automatic. And I said, but you have to explain how you put it in first gear and ran over her and then put it in reverse and ran over her and then put it in first gear and ran over her again. I said, you know what I mean? If it was an accident, you need to tell me it was an accident. I said, otherwise, nobody's going to have mercy on you. The judge is not going to have mercy on you. No one's going to have mercy on you. You ran over not only your wife, but your unborn kid. And he sits there and he's looking at me. And I think it kind of clicked on him. You see the light bulb go on his head. I'm not saying he was the sharpest tool in the shed, but you see the light bulb go on his head. And he's like, well, yeah. But you know what? It was an accident. I said, well, tell me about that. Basically, I just wanted to confess to it, y'all. Any type of confession is better than no confession, even though I had all the eyewitnesses. And actually, a bullshit confession on this case, it makes it even more damning on him, right? I said, so tell me what happened. And he said, well, we were arguing, and I was told her I was leaving her, and I was backing out of the driveway, and she was at the hood of the Jeep hollering at me. And he said, you know, I thought I hit the brakes, but I must have hit the clutch in the brake, and somehow I accidentally put it to forward. I said, what happened? So I ran over. I said, okay. And now he still never asked me, is she alive or is the baby alive? And I said, okay, so it was an accident. He said, yeah, definitely an accident. I said, well, okay, well, look, I can understand maybe it being an accident. You maybe in the heat of the moment, you got your faculties messed up and you ran over for it.
Hey, y'all, changing my wardrobe from summer to fall. Hey, it's never easy. Luckily, Quince offers timeless and high-quality items I adore, ensuring my wardrobe stays fresh and I don't blow my budget. And there's nothing easier than going to Quince and choosing these high-quality items, like cashmere sweaters from $50, pants for every occasion, washable silk tops, and so much more. The best part? All Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes, and I love that. Look, I got the stainless steel Link Apple Watch band for $59.90, and it's heavy duty, it's awesome, and it's like $100 less than I could find anywhere else. And I also got a 100% organic cotton fisherman quarter zip up sweater. The color is alabaster. Man, I can't wait to wear that dude out this fall. And Cindy got the Mongolian cashmere. boat neck sweater in heather gray. And I'm telling you, these are classic pieces at a fraction of the price. Make switching seasons a breeze with Quince's high quality closet essentials. Go to quince.com/RLRC for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/RLRC to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/RLRC. You'll thank me later. Hey, y'all. Let me tell you about Mochi. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish that goal. Mochi's program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and you will be meeting with their team online. You deserve doctors that listen. Mochi is dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care that prioritizes overall well-being with the goal of transforming how weight management is approached. Mochi Health takes a holistic approach to weight loss that includes visit with board-certified doctors, nutrition consultations, and medications delivered to your door. Science-backed medications including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compound versions, affordable and accessible, regardless of insurance coverage. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand-in-hand with your medication to create personalized nutrition plans that fit your lifestyle. Reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications and support from real doctors and guidance from registered dietitians and help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Y'all have seen this. My wife has done it. My brother-in-law has done it. One of my best friends is doing it, and it really is an amazing process that works. So get started at joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off. That's joinmochi.com and use code RLRC to receive $40 off and let Mochi help change your life.
He said, yeah. I said, but what about backing over again? And he kind of got quiet. I said, it's an accident going forward. I mean, was it an accident when you backed over again? Oh, yeah, that's right. It was an accident. He said, I accidentally pushed the clutch in and put it in reverse, and then I backed over again. It sure was an accident, Detective. He said, I didn't mean to do it. And I said, okay. I said, so the first one being an accident, first time you ran over going forward, I think, you know, maybe, possibly, yeah, okay. The second time, I said, that's a little bit harder. I said, but you know what? It's believable. Your hands weren't doing what your mind was telling it to, whatever, and you were just trying to leave, and you backed over. He said, yeah, that's what happened, man. That's what happened. And I said, but what about the third time? And he looked at me. He said, well, that was an accident, too. I said, so the first one, that's a stretch. I said, the second one is a real huge stretch. I said, tell me what happened the third time. He said, I thought I was still in reverse and I gave it gas, but I must have put it in first and I ran over again. I said, okay. I said, the third one, it's tough. Yeah, it's just going to be tough for anybody to believe. He said, well, that's what happened and I don't give a fuck what they believe. And he kind of started getting a little pissy with me. And he said, you know what? I don't give a fuck about all this. And I said, well, you know what? You better give a fuck. And I knew I wasn't going to get any more out of y'all. And what I told him was, I said, Mr. Bray, you're under arrest for attempted second degree murder of your wife by running over her. Not once, not twice, but three times. I said, the real fucked up thing about this whole situation is you've never asked me not one time, was your wife or your baby or alive? You never asked me how they were doing. You never asked me anything. I said, and I just told you, you're under arrest for attempted second degree murder. I said, you didn't even ask me, why is it attempted and not first degree murder or, you know, second degree murder straight up. And he said, because I don't give a fuck. And I said, well, good. You take that shit to the jury, because I'm done with you. You can go fuck yourself. And then, you know, the gloves were off. I wasn't playing nice with them, right? So I booked him in. And shit, man, the truth of the matter is, she, other than some tire track, other than some bruising, when I spoke with the wife, she was totally fine. Absolutely, totally fine. And not an injury to her. Now, you talk about miracles and angels wrapping her up. I don't know. The whole family said it was a miracle. The doctor said it's a miracle. And I'm telling you, in all my years of seeing crazy shit, it was a miracle. There's no way she shouldn't be dead. No way that baby shouldn't be dead. But they weren't. And he was booked in. I do not know what happened with the charges, but I do know that this wasn't their first rodeo on the arguments and the domestic violence stuff. And unfortunately, a lot of times the people, you know, they I call it the vicious wheel or the cycle, if you will. They start out nice and then they get it drunk or whatever. They get into an argument and the argument goes and goes and goes to blows up until the violence starts or whatever. And then one of them gets arrested. And then after the arrest, the one that gets arrested promises them the moon and swoons them off their feet and romances them and whatever. And that person drops the charges. And I've seen it so many times. The same people we would arrest over and over and over again. But I used to tell the victim, I said, one day, I'm not going to be coming to talk to you. I'm going to be looking over your dead body because you're going to get killed and it's going to get out of hand. But on this one, I don't know what happened on the case. I assume she must have dropped the charges and they got back together. I don't remember that part. But I'll tell you what I do remember. I got a call probably a couple weeks later. And it was from the supervisor of the jail. And I don't remember who it was, but one of the day shift supervisors. And they said, hey, Gerald Bro's getting out. And he's saying that he had, he got out. And then he went to get his Jeep. I think it had been released, but there was no crime scene part or whatever, but it went back to that tow truck yard. They called the same tow company, come get it. So they had to tell him where his vehicle was at. He went and got his vehicle, and then he drove back up to the jail, and he was up there raising hell. And they said, Woody, this dude's saying you took $500 out of his vehicle. I said, what? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, I ain't taking any fucking money out of this vehicle. Tell me to go file a complaint. And I said, well, where did he say the money was? He said he had $500 in a Camel cigarette pack. I said, well, guess what? There was about 100 Camel cigarette packs. I do remember that, empty ones trashed up on the floor in different places. I said, now we went through the packs and we inventoried the vehicle and I never saw any cash money. And it's not on the inventory sheet. Otherwise, I would have remembered that. I said, you just tell him to go fuck himself and tell him that, you know, he can consider that as if he actually had $500 in the Jeep and it got taken after it got to the crime lab or from the tow truck driver or whatever. And I'm not saying he did because I don't believe that he did. Or maybe in his mind, he thought he did. I said, but you tell him, go file a complaint against me and I'll stand for it, and I'll tell him to go fuck himself to his face because I didn't take his $500. I don't believe he had $500, but if he did, then he can consider that the penance or a tithe to Jesus for not letting his wife and unborn baby be killed when he ran over once, twice, three times. Fuck him. So anyway, that's going to conclude the story. It's kind of an off the wall story, but I just think that I was thinking about the other day, or actually a couple weeks ago, telling y'all the story. Nobody would believe that, and the that woman and the unborn baby were totally fine, and that this dumbass tried to take the out of an accident that he ran over once, twice, and three times. But anyway, I love and appreciate each and every one of y'all. Thank you. I'm going to do some more patron stuff this month. We're going to be sending y'all a little something in the mail for, I hope you have a Merry Christmas, and I hope y'all are staying safe and healthy. It's crazy times, right? I mean, man, I got friends, mentors, and lifelong friends dying from the damn COVID. And anyway, doesn't matter. I hope y'all stay safe. And Cindy and I appreciate you. Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast, would not be where it is today without its patron members. And I appreciate that. And we love y'all. If I owe you something, let me know. You're not bothering me. I promise you. We want to give you the most that we can give you. If you have any other ideas for stuff that you want or whatever, let me know. And if we can make it happen for you, we'll make it happen, Captain. And that's it. So until next time, well, I'm Woody Overton, your host of Real Life, Real Crime, the podcast. And until next time or ever, don't let me catch you down on Murder Bayou. Peace.
You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say can and will be used against you in a court of law. You have a right to an attorney prior to or during any question. If you can't afford one, the court will appoint one for you. Do you understand your rights?
When the wolf is at your door,
the Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at gethumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.